Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tippy Talk. Today, November 18th, 2015, my name is Tippy Feldenstein, and we are live right now on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I have a very special guest, Gerald O'Donnell, that I've been waiting for a very long time. Today's guest is a testimony to the fact that magic happens when you allow it rather than push it. It's my patience and knowledge that we would have to have this conversation, but not knowing when. I thought it should have been happening months ago, but it had happened at the right time, and it had to happen the right way. So today is the right time, and we rejoice in this important message that Gerald O'Donnell has for me, for you, and for the human race. For me, I have traveled the entire world, and I've interviewed many people from all walks of life, and I found lots of enlightenment and many messages of light. And they had amazing messages when I worked from the time when I was very young with Shirley MacLaine up until recently, when I've worked with specifically people who are devoting their life to enlighten the world. And they have helped humanity to grasp the enormous shift that we are experiencing. But in light of the mass murders and the massive decay of today's world, someone like Gerald O'Donnell has the advantage of walking the fine line between the ancient wisdom and the modern scientific discoveries. It's the knowledge of the hidden and the known, of the so-called secrets of life itself. So Mr. O'Donnell stumbled on the fact that by using special mental techniques and special training, not only was space bridged instantly, but that the time barrier was also conquered. And that would allow someone to experience and perceive the past and the probable future. And if that sounds like something that isn't that easily understood, he will explain it to you in simpler words. I would like to welcome Gerald O'Donnell, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Tippy Talk and explain all that to us, maybe in a simple English and in a way that everybody could understand. So thank you, Gerald, for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I am very happy to have you here today, and I know that we have a very important message, and we have a very, basically we have an audience that is really thirsty for the message and for the knowledge that they need to know. But before we go into the meat of the matter, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what was your turning point that actually made you realize that you have an important message and that you need the world to know about it?
A turning point. I'm still inside that turning point.
I haven't gotten out of turning point.
Yeah. I would say from the moment I was basically operative as a little child. I was like watching this world from the outside, wondering why people were conflicting with each other so much. You have to understand also I was born after the Second World War in Europe, and then you could still feel the aura of the madness and the evil that had been perpetrated all over the soil. And there was this strong consciousness of the pain that was still pretty much at the surface of those countries. So I was very sensitive, and even though I was a normal child, I was playing around and having fun with everybody, but I was still trying to understand. And as people were getting to become more and more like a so-called adult, I was starting to worry, because I was starting to see in them a grain of what I call unhealthy competition as opposed to healthy competition, like jealousy and the desire to put down somebody else in order to raise themselves higher. And I was trying to understand why this was still active in our world, why you know, why we were still not solving what should have been solved a long time ago.
And so as far as my connection,
go ahead.
Yes. Well, from what I understand, you're saying that as a child growing up, you still felt the tension of the mass murder that took place in World War II. So it was part of the energy that you felt growing up.
Yes.
Which is a very powerful thing, because as a child, you wonder, why are people doing that?
Yeah, because this was immense. Or somebody has not experienced that. And maybe, you know, even in a theater of battle for Americans who have come there and then went back, unless you've experienced it directly, it's something that impregnates the earth, and then the energy floats and stays there. And there should have been much more learning and much more done to resolve all this. I know there was the creation of the United Nations. I know that people were trying to talk about a more peaceful world, but there were nevertheless, little conflicts here and there. And I think the lesson wasn't integrated well enough to prevent, the same energy to arise again in different type of characters or villains, if you want, as it is happening now.
So you grew up and you got an education, and somehow you got to a point in your life when you said, people are not getting it. They do not understand how to stop this madness. And you have a message. How did that happen? How did that formulate itself into you creating all this massive institute and teaching people and getting these amazing messages and all the stuff that you do?
Okay. I was always interested with what you could call the mind, the power of the mind. So from a very young age, I would experiment with hypnosis, self-hypnosis, and then as I was doing those things, I was trying to understand how it works, why it works, basically how mind relates to what we think is matter, and how mind empowers our world in whatever desires and decisions and direction we choose it to take. And I used to meditate. I go into a very, very deep state on my own, and it was fun for me to do. And then at that point, I was realizing that every single time I did this, I was entering totally different realms that most people do not access. Not because they don't have access to, but just because they don't even want to experience it. It's given to everybody to do it, but this is not something that is or maybe was popular. So
are you talking about accessing a certain dimension or a certain state of awareness?
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
What people think are dimensions are really states of awareness.
Interesting.
When you expand your awareness, you go into a different dimension. And every dimension operates differently. Then, of course, when I started studying science, and then all those scientific questions that I've been already asked about the nature of the relationship between consciousness and reality, quantum physics was already the buzz of the land, and then, all our technology was starting to operate based on it, because, let's say, the transistor is based on quantum, on the fact that an electron would dematerialize itself or rematerialize itself. Things that seemed to be like total science fiction became reality. So I was trying to integrate this on a deeper level, and I think I was getting answers, and I know I was getting answers, and then I started having experiences with what you could call higher levels of myself. You know, closer to what's called the light.
Was that at a very young age, or was that later on after you had...
I was quite at a young age already. So, And then I was very good at what I was doing, and I was operating what we think the world should be operating like, and I was involved in international finance, and then I did some work because of the way I was operating with intra-intelligence services project, which had to do with training people that were, let's say, special ops, or operatives in order to increase their intuition, because there was a realization that, you know, even a martial artist does that. I mean, if you go into a very deep inner state, you can intuit what's going to happen in let's say in your near future at least, because most people are aware or not aware, but most people are aware that there is something called intuition. At one point or another, they feel that. And usually, I would say, as a rule, the feminine aspect is the intuitive aspect. So even the feminine aspect for a male is going to be his intuition. So if he can connect to that, the feminine being his soul, by the way, he will be able to intuit and get information in advance and be more guided than a person that's totally blocked from that. So, and the female, the same thing. So it's easier for a female to connect to her soul. She will do that. But it doesn't mean that she always does that.
So basically what you're saying is that intuition is a very solid, very concrete science, not just some random feelings that people have, that you can actually tap into, and by tapping into it, basically science is part of intuition, or intuition is part of science, reality.
I wouldn't even call it science, I would call it reality, because the whole natural world, what we call the natural world, the world of nature, operates based on intuition. I mean, if you ever had a pet, or if you run into the jungle, which I've done, because I love nature, and I used to go to Africa. And I mean, you get to a level where you're totally in balance and coordinated with the element of nature, which is really divine. That's the only divine element we have across us, because man is created, as the Bible says, in the shadow of God. Not he's done in the similitude of God, but also in the shadow of God, meaning that he has inverted characteristics, whereby God is pure love and pure acceptance and pure tolerance and no judgment. Man will start operating in totally the opposite way, up to the point where you will start, you know, competing and aggressing and wanting to kill for no reason. The animal world has this intuition all the time, because they are totally open to their soul. The conduct, if you want, like the tunnel between their soul and the lower perception of being in the body, is always open, and they use it.
So
if you've had a dog,
that,
a dog with you will intuit that somebody is about to come and aggress you, or someone is good, or someone is bad. Anybody that has ever had a pet knows that. So they look at that dog, because the dog is helping. And having a dog, as a matter of fact, a pet, will help you align into that level of nature.
Because you tune in to the dog, with the dog together into nature. That makes sense. That makes sense. So that brings us to something that you have, a message that you have from the one and only that you call. And this is a message from September 13. And at the bottom, you write something, and I'll quote. It says, "Creation is at a crossroads between eternal peace, life, and final chaos." And that's really the essence of what I wanted to tap into, because I think that's like the basic premise of what you're doing or what you're trying to tell the world. If you don't tap into that intuitive connection to your oneness, well, basically the other choice that we have is final chaos.
Yeah. Okay, I also want to explain how those messages coming. I have a website called probablefuture.com that I started in 1997. And it was I was teaching techniques which have to do with what we called, at that point, because they were used by some intelligence services, remote viewing, which means that you're able to foresee areas in the so-called material world or situations in advance. And the other thing that we did was to go even deeper within the mind and open what's called the delta level, which is a level usually that's relegated for sleep, and open that level so that you are conscious when you're sleeping. And then at that point, you can do things what you would that you wouldn't believe it.
Conscious, is this like a conscious dreaming, what people would call that? Like you can control your dream? In your dream, you say, "I'm going to do this," and it's consciously
no.
You make the choice? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah, we were gifted the ability to do what you, I teach that too within the course, you know, what's called lucid dreaming, because when you're dreaming, right, when you're dreaming, you think that you're at the mercy of the elements. I mean, you know, you don't even know where the dream is coming from. In reality, you're both the dreamer and you're both the character in the dream, and you're both all the characters, but because no one else can be dreaming that for you. But they are different. They are coming from different levels of yourself. So let's say that the characters that are attacking you are just playing that. They are coming from higher levels of yourself, playing a game against you, attacking you, and you here lower will try to do whatever you need to do to escape being attacked or whatever. So you still feel that you're yourself, but you never realize that the other characters are being dreamed by a higher level of yourself. In reality, awaken within the dream, and then you say, "Okay, I'm still dreaming, but now I'm going to control that dream. So I want it that way, and I want it that way." Then suddenly, it starts happening. That's called lucid dreaming. So then you realize that not only are you the character that's being subjected to the situation, but you can now control the situations also. You still feel that your main focus and concentration is up on yourself, but the other characters now are in tune with you. They're like, they unite with you within the plan that you want to achieve. And that's called lucid dreaming. And then when you start doing a lot of this, you're starting maybe to realize that maybe during the day, maybe I'm dreaming too. Maybe all of this.
Oh, see, I can understand that because I had a near-death experience. But for people who cannot understand that, how do you put it down to them in a way that if you didn't experience it, you can understand that you really, basically what you're saying is you're controlling the good and the bad and everything else that's happening. And by dreaming, you can start directing it in the direction that you really want it to go rather than let it direct you unconsciously.
Exactly. Because you start realizing that you can control your world. In reality, that's even based on physics, even based on the latest research in neurobiology now, okay? Because the neurobiologists believe that the brain is the core of our thinking, which it is not, but let's say they believe that because this is how it's manifesting itself. There are people who have gone a little further out. They're on the fringe of it. They're very well known, and they realize that based on the illusions, you know, the optical illusions that we see in the brain, that in reality, when you look at outside of what you think is the world, it's not your eye that's operating, it's your brain. There are electrical signals sent to your brain, and your brain is reconstructing light. And inside the brain, there is supposed not to be any light. There is nothing. It's just a perception that you get of light, perception of materiality, a perception of people, a perception of sound. But the sound inside the brain, there is no sound. You perceive it. You understand?
Oh, okay. So that's where, in that state of mind, that's where you get the message, where you call the message from the one that you actually give to the world. That's
no, when I get to this level, this has started happening to me in 1989, okay? So that didn't happen before. And I had an incredible, gigantic experience where everything disappeared and everything became like particles of golden light. There was no material world. I saw the curtains went up, and I saw the real reality behind this reality, which is an infinite ocean of light. That's it.
Wow.
And at that point, I got my first message. So when I get to that, to those levels, it's not me, you know.
It's
my mouth talks,
through
but
you.
It's not me from this level. You know,
it's coming through you, basically.
Yeah, it's coming through me. Like when King David said, "God opened my mouth, and my mouth will tell your praises." Meaning that you opening my mouth, you're talking through me. You're using me as a tool, not as a. It's not me anymore.
And that's a beautiful message. But part of the message that you had of the last time that you had it, you are talking about other great souls that have wanted to bring the message across. And the way you write it is that gray holy souls have been deeply injured in their attempt to bring that message in, and many have ceased to speak, and many have departed and discouraged, and deeply wounded. And so by bringing this message, what has happened in the past, the people have been punished for it. So how is it different now?
It is not. You know, if you, and we only know very few of it, this is not the only creation for soul. And I know that for a fact, but I couldn't prove it to anybody else. But I mean, physics knows it, okay? They're even trying now through this ridiculous the collider in Geneva to open a portal to the others, which is really dangerous. But those worlds exist. They're there. Mm-hmm. They exist on a different vibration. Every world has an element of vibration and operations. And everything is really done in the level of thought.
Right.
In reality, matter is just a vibration of light or perception. I would rather say that perception.
Right.
So
it goes down through thoughts. Right. That's what I mean.
Right. So the world out there, the so-called universe out there, is really being projected, as I said, because you're a shadow from the inside, not from the outside. And you're seeing what you're perceiving through your brain. That is an interface. Your whole brain is an interface. It's like the screen of your computer, and you can press a little button on your brain and it will do something, and you press another button on your brain and it will do something else. And the same thing happens on your computer. You can delete a file, you can put a file, but is the file on the screen? No, it's not on the screen. It's inside the hardware, which is operating in a totally different manner, you know, on a different level. Go ahead.
So basically what you're saying is that really nothing has changed now, and if your message gets big enough and all of a sudden I get, let's say, 10 billion people hear it and understand it and start doing things differently, there's still going to be those who are going to want to prosecute you and kill you and destroy you as quickly as possible. But what you're saying is that it doesn't have to be so, I understand, but it's still the reality of the fact is that there is a blockage. There's a blockage for you not to get your message out there.
Very strongly. Not even blockage, but there have been like innumerable attempts on my life. I mean, I can't even tell you. I'm not the only one. I mean, I know other people. I mean, in the history, all the prophets have had horrific lives, and all the projections, whether Moses had a very difficult life, and then, the one they call Jesus, which is just a code, it's not his name, but that had a horrific life. Because when you come and you bring back the core of a message coming from God, the parts that have broken away in their perception, because it's allowed within the illusion that for them to think that they are separated, are fighting for their system. Because that system allows them to have a sense of existence and a sense of control over other parts. And they don't get that power, their power, from connecting to the source. They get their power from drawing energy from others that they control, that they put under their control.
You're talking about the lower elements and the lower creatures.
Well, I'm sorry to say it's most of us, yes.
Most of us.
I don't like to call them lower. That's where humanity is at. You know, it has not changed that much. The problem is that we're having now is that science is evolving pretty fast. And believe it or not, we choose the science we want. If you want that science based on unity, even the mathematics of it will change. But we have a science that's not based on unity, so therefore the technologies that we are going to be creating are being created based on addition, subtraction, things that didn't exist before, because it was always dividing within the one. There was an understanding in the old times that we were part of this big energy field called the there was no name for it, and we were like, in order to multiply, he would have to divide itself into pieces, but it is never outside. We couldn't get out of it, because if we get out of God, we don't exist.
Right, and that's why I want to get down to the message of what needs to happen with you. But before we do that, there's something really, really important that you keep on saying over again in different ways. And basically what you're saying is everything is starting to collapse really, really quickly. And and it's about to become, to get into a very horrific period of time where mankind is going to have the kind of collapse that's never had before, because it's going to be on a universal, on a global level.
Yes.
And that's why
that
the
collapse
message
is a lesson. See, creation is really here. I wouldn't call it, I hate calling it a school for consciousness, but it really is that. It's like a school for consciousnesses that are born with qualities that are opposite the qualities of the divine. To go back to the realization of, first of all, of who they are, and as they're going back slowly to the realization of who they are, which is, means that they are parts of the divine, they realize that they have a task to achieve. They have a mission to do, and they're starting more and more to get the feeling that everybody around them is them. So they, from being just dreaming, they're becoming lucid dreamer. They're starting to say, "Oh, you know what? This is." But they can use this if they are evolved enough. They're going to use this for the good of all of the dream, or they might just use it in order to control others, which is what. The root of what people call dark magic and mind control, whatever. This is the problem, because it's, the consciousness has no color. Conscience has. There's a difference between conscience and consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
When you're born with a divine conscience, you know the difference between good and evil. You don't need the Ten Commandments to tell you do not kill, do not, because
right.
This is so primitive.
You're not going to do it.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't do it. It's not a testimony to the glory of God. It's testimony to how low the humans are.
Right.
And they need to be told with a stick, you know, like little children, don't go and kill your brother, you know? Okay, I'll try.
Yeah, because they didn't know better. So they didn't know. And so, but now what you're saying is that there is a way out, and even though this is a school, if we don't take that way out, everything will collapse. And is that gonna, does that mean that it collapsed and then it recreates itself? What do we have to do now to stop it?
Well, this is a creation which is different from any other creation that the one has ever done before. There is a great interest in this creation coming from, not only from the level of this creation, but from the level of a great amount of different creations. They're coming here to see it. The reason they're coming here to see this is because in this creation, the level of perceived materiality, which is the tool by which we feel separated from each other. Because in other creation, since everything is thought, they just speak telepathically. They don't need to have this artificial element of air vibrating, sending thoughts out, you know, in form of a voice, or they don't need to have the ability to send a GPS or a satellite to see, because they send their minds, everything is mind, so they send their minds across, and then they can see like that. In this creation, it was done so that we cannot, because we are very restricted on purpose, so that the one who cannot be that only one should. So that, I'm going to say something a little revolutionary, so that God forgets that when he looks very closely at his creation, that he's only one, and he starts believing that he's many.
That God himself, or that
yes.
He is?
No, I said God. A creator always creates to challenge himself. And he challenged himself through these creatures. When you're playing chess, you create the game of chess, and you create the pieces, but it's not because... The pieces of chess are not they are the tools that challenges you to play that game. So the creatures here, it's so well done, so sophisticated that there is a defacing between the amount of technology or what we think is science, which is in fact, not that advanced, but it's the science, which is approaching now, you know, exponential levels, and our conscience, which is not evolving that much in that fast, because we're not putting attention to that. There's no emphasis. People don't speak about this. Not even the so-called spiritual leaders speak that much about it. All they do, they say, well, follow this particular ritual that we inherited from 2,000 years ago and repeat it 3,000 times, and God is all happy and everything will be fine, and you'll be taken into a different reality by UFOs, by whatever miracle. It's not going to happen.
Wow, that kind of even goes over my head. So I'm sure that a lot of people are going to want to really delve into it and figure out what it is exactly, what you mean by that. But what I want to talk about is what each individual person can do right now to begin changing the course of this planet from destruction. What is the absolute necessity for us to do?
You have to reprioritize and understand who you are. Instead of asking, you know, the word money, related to Hebrew, like the word law, it means not what not to do. In Hebrew, no, is law. The word money means ma'ani, what I am. You have to stop defining yourself.
Oh, money. Wow, I thought that was a different language. Like English, that's in English.
No, all the languages are created by the Creator. English is the language of the angel and Ish. Every time you see British, there's an alliance there. The language had to be created by the Creator. And the source code is in Hebrew.
So is it true that all the languages really come from Hebrew?
Most of the Western languages come from Hebrew, yes.
Not all the languages.
Like Japanese will not come from Hebrew, no.
It's
side of the mind operating it. But Hebrew is the way by which this creation is created at the level of the Creator. He uses Hebrew letters as codes in order to create the fire. He made out of fire. And he creates that. And this knowledge is supposed to be known by humans in the future. Now, they don't have it now, thank God, because they would just blow each other up to degrees that you would.
Right, because they're using the knowledge to really go the wrong way,
right.
And they should have it. I love that one, what you said, money. That is amazing. That is
the question
my
that
mind.
You ask is, me, Ani. Who I am.
Me, Ani, yeah. Who am
the yod, you take the yod, which is the me, instead of the hey, which is the ma. You don't want a ha, you know? You want
uh-huh,
edit.
Uh-huh.
You want to know who you are. You're God.
Right. Who am I really, and what is my place in this
right.
world?
Now, if I'm God, and I'm really one, because God cannot be two,
mm-hmm.
at the highest level, he's everything. It's like your fingers are you, right? When one finger starts punching the other finger, you're looking at it and say, hey, guys, stop it. But that many fingers might not realize that.
Yes.
You know, a cell in your body that's turning cancerous is like attacking everything so she can become bigger and then have a big fortress and this. He's not realizing that she's basically attacking you and you are, she will end up dying. So this is the same thing at the level of the godliness. We are still part of the godliness. We're part of this immense, infinite intelligence that needs nothing to exist, not and exist beyond any idea of time or space, because it's unrestricted. It's only restricted when creation exists. So when we realize who we are, yeah. The question is, the first question you should ask: if I be God, would I want to kill a part of my finger? Of course not.
Right. Like
I would try to communicate to that part. Stop this! You're destroying my whole environment. You know, I'm building this for you, which is me.
So practically speaking, if someone is listening to you right now and they're saying, you know what, I totally understand that. I understand that we're one, but I want to feel that. I want to be part of it. What would be the first step? What would they have to do to become part of the solution rather than part of the problem?
They would have to do what we do in our courses, which is to go within. You know, the old prophets of the ancient Hebrew prophets had a position. They used to go and kneel down and put their heads between their legs.
The Muslims do with their head on the floor?
No. It's not, first of all, they used to bow down, yes. Everybody, that's a sign of respect, and there's another meaning to that. But they used to go sitting on the floor and putting their heads in between their legs so they contract. It was like they would contract their biology, they would block the sound with their knees, and they would go within. They would form like a little ball. The idea was to contract yourself within until you reach a point in your mind where you're just a little dot. and then you're extremely relaxed, and then your body, if you even take the course, you will not feel your body. It's like you have no body at that point. You just stop.
You're describing something, the child's pose in yoga, when you put your knees and you put your ears between your legs, right?
Correct, exactly, correct. That was the prophet's pose in old Israel, yes.
Okay,
and that's why they call it a child's pose, because in order to go back to your roots, you have to go back to childhood.
Right, that makes sense. So one of the things that they can do is come to your academy and then get a little bit of training on how to block out everything and really go into your inner self. And I'm going to put a link for that right below this if you're watching it, so that you can actually just link on it and you don't have to go looking for it any further. That's great. And so, but what can they do to prepare themselves for that? Because what you're saying is that it's really, really important for each and every individual to understand that we are all one.
You have to experience that.
The only way they're going to
Our course will teach them, and they will have the experience of it changes you. You know, there's nothing you can do if you just do it, and it's not very long. If you do it once a day, it will transform you, because you're going to go back and connect, instead of connecting to all your thoughts and your fears, because everything in this creation right now is based on fear. Fear of this, or you want to be rich just in case you have lack of something, so you want to have more and more of this. You want to have, it's always a game of controlling, but not so much because you want to control it, because you're afraid of losing control, of being under the control of another. It's always, it's worse than the law of the jungle, because we do this freely for no reason. So when you go back to that level, and then you start getting your own information, and you start healing yourself, not only on a psychological level, because you open your subconscious, you go in deep into your subconscious, which is godly. That's how the connection to God is, through your subconscious. There's no way your biology or your DNA could function if there would be no instructions coming from what we think is a subconscious, but there is no location to that subconscious in the 3D world. It's not in your brain.
In your DNA, in your body, there's no physical location.
For the level that gives the instructions to the DNA. Yeah, for the level that the DNA needs to be there, because it's manufacturing whatever, you know, all the amino acids and so forth, but the level that gives the complete instructions, which is beyond any understanding, any human could never do this, that level is godly. Because you take a human, I don't care, two scientists, and give them a dark room and tell them, create a human, you know, create DNA from nothing, and give them instructions, and keep on making it work all day long. It takes trillions and trillions of parallel operations that could never be done. It's impossible. You would need a quantum computer, not even a supercomputer, and then even that is not guaranteed. So we have to go back and lower our respective egos to where we are and understand what we are here for, which is really to re-understand who we are. And the only way you're going to evolve and get back control over a creation that has lost its ways is by realizing who you are. And
is that going to make you less afraid when you realize who you are?
Well, if you realize who you are, it's like when you wake up in your dream, the people across supposedly will not attack you, because they wake up with you. they start waking up with you.
What if they don't wake up? What if they don't?
Sorry.
Okay, for example,
they don't wake up, but they will wake up, because the rule of creation is that everything goes back to the one. There's nothing you can do about it, because it's one to start with and it's one to stop. You know, not be one. So that's why in the prophecies of Isaiah, I said on that day, when that realization is given, God is one and His name is one, because there is a total understanding that it's everything is one and we are part of one. It's a statement of fact. It's not a statement of a name that you call someone by. You understand?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's part of almost every prayer that they have. But they're not really sure what they're saying.
They don't understand. Because
they say the words, but it doesn't really mean much.
See, it's like they say, I'm the light, and the dark is across, and the dark is not part of the light. They say that. Well, in Hebrew,
yes,
the word for one is echad.
Which
is aleph, which is the beginning of or. Chet is choshech.
Uh-huh.
And dalet means the door. It means that they're both part of the same. You know? You cannot separate them.
Right, you cannot separate them, but if you think you're separated, then you try to destroy it. So what would happen if someone walks into your space that has been trained to kill and to be a suicide, and he thinks, because obviously that's a programming, that they have to be completely programmed.
Right.
And you want to, you want to stop them, but can you stop them with your mind or with your intuition? The point is for people to be empowered, not to be afraid. I mean, that's what the point is.
You don't have fear. You don't have fear because you know that you're part of God and there's a protection around you, and you feel it. And I've experienced it too many times not to know it. I'm talking about mega protection. You don't. And then you're almost laughing at it. You know, I go in the ocean and I'm surrounded by sharks and they come right in front of my nose. I have no fear. None. I could go and caress them if you wanted to. Because I know they won't hurt me.
Because you feel the safety net around you.
I feel the safety net, and I feel there's an element of me that is almost laughing because it's the characters in my dream. I talk to barracudas, like big barracuda, like 8 feet tall, and I go, you know, you really are getting, he's right in front of me. And I can tell the animal, the consciousness is answering, he's like kind of laughing, going, yeah, okay. But I'm playing barracuda right now, so just, you know, don't mess with me. So what I'm trying to say is that it's still God.
That's awesome. That is really, really awesome. So basically, since we're running out of time here, if somebody wants to get into that space and to really feel that joy and that confidence of never having to be afraid, bring a training that they can do. And it's not something they have to do for hours and hours and spend the rest of their lives trying to figure it out, is it?
Absolutely not. You know, in the old Kabbalah, in the Zohar, there's this whole discussion about Elohim. Because in the original Genesis, God is one and many, but he's one. It's never a plural. Even though it's a plural form, it's considered to be one because the many are within the one. You understand?
Right, and that's why a lot of people misunderstand that. Yeah, a lot of people misunderstand that and say, well, God is plural because of the word is plural. The word Elohim is plural, so God is plural.
No, he's not plural because it's always, he said, and he called himself in the singular format. He doesn't say we. If you say we, it's a distortion. But when he says I, it's him. He knows that he has many. It's like you look at a diamond. You have million of facets in the diamond. It's still one diamond. They all reflect differently the light, and they all look different, but it's all the same diamond. So Elohim knows that he is one. He cannot be two. But all of these characters are in this movie that he's playing with himself. It's a movie in reality that he's playing within himself, in his mind, that we call creation, and he's trying to solve a problem. In the same way, you're trying to solve a problem in your biology, to have it detoxify and to stop attacking yourself, like an autoimmune disease. Well, he's having an autoimmune problem right now because the parts really believe that they're separated and they're starting to destroy the being in creation. Because outside of creation, it's not Elohim anymore because it's just one. But as he's operating in creation, it's Elohim. And then if you take that same word, you have this in Gematria, it's Teva, which means the good eye, the nice eye, which means nature. It's nature.
Okay.
When you look at nature, you're facing God face to face. Who do you think is growing all this on its own and making this perfect nature and these beings and these macro beings and this weather, and it's all there for us to enjoy and connect. So we have a bypass. So if you want to connect to God, connect to yourself. And if you have a problem connecting to yourself, use a bypass through nature. Ask nature to help you connect. You understand? As if it'd be an element in front of you that you can talk to, but you connect to yourself in reality. You go to that point of yourself, which is the Teva, which is the Elohim. So you can connect inside of you. But you feel it. You will feel a different type of energy, and then it's much wiser. And that's where... Yes.
And the key to connecting to yourself is through that position and through that inner, going into within yourself.
It has to be inside. You know, Jesus says the kingdom is within, and the King of all kings is Avinusha. The Father in heaven is within. In reality, heaven is within you, not outside. The real heaven is you carry that. Otherwise, you wouldn't exist. All those trillions of operations that allow you to be an interface of perception. You're like the screen on a computer in the basic format. But there's a tremendous amount of operations in the back to give you this ability to think that you're in this world and operate and have stories and dramas and reproduce, and it's magnificent. And you don't need to know how they're operating. We're not here to study every single detail of that unless we really need it. Because it's done for us. What we need to do is change our conscience first. Then we're going to be able to operate with different science, different so-called economical system. It's not going to be money. It's going to be mi ele. Who are these? Not what they are. And by the way, mi ele is the same letters as Elohim.
Mi ele.
You understand that the ones across you, they're all the Yod. They're all God. There's only one God. There cannot be two.
So, to wind down to the bottom line of everything that you're saying that it's absolutely necessary for us to connect to the One, which you call the Echad, and for each and every one to do it and to come to that understanding on their own.
Yes.
Because if they don't, we're not going to survive for much longer. This creation is not going to survive for much longer. Because
look, the creation will survive in a format that's going to be very painful, because if we cannot understand who we are, there are crucial moments in creation which are like forks. I'm sorry, I have a cell phone, which I love all the time.
Yeah.
Let me just move it away. Somebody
kind of going nuts.
Do you mind if I just put it away? I'll be right back. Just one sec.
Yeah, I'm gonna read what you wrote here. So basically, the game of separation and the illusion of separation, that we separate from the One, basically played itself out. It played itself out as far as it can possibly go. And now we have to step into the phase of unity.
Okay,
and unity means, so unity means the realization that, or the coming together, the word that you used for unity is ichud, but I don't know the English word for that. How would you say ichud in English?
Ichud, it's exactly
the coming
that. It's unification. It's an act where you're actively being unified, and you accept to unify. You know, you can unify across with your wife, partner, or you can unify with your higher levels of yourself, up to the level of the source, because you're connected to the source. Because if you were not to be connected to the source, well, you wouldn't be here. Not even an ant would be here if she's not connected to the source. It wouldn't exist.
Right. You don't exist without the source. So,
right.
So you're saying that this is the new direction. This is the direction the creation needs to really go towards, and that you need to agree to become part of that unification.
Exactly. We have to decide to turn around. You know, it's like it's a story of a couple, the story of man and God. Man created God because God created man.
God created man.
Because I guess God needed a creature. You know. By the way, man did create God in his image too, because we create God in an anthropomorphic way, which is obvious.
Right.
You know, if we are in a warlike culture, we create a warlike God. If we're in a very calm, loving culture to nature, God is all nature. You understand? We create in the way we perceive ourselves, and we make an image, and then that's the God that we're going to accept. Because the other cannot be. But that's not really God, because he's outside of all this. And he's all of this, too. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We're still him. But he's trying to balance all this, so that within the systems that are operating here, all whether they're, you know, ecological system, which are the most important, because if you don't have your ecology, if you don't have your biology, you have to go and get another car. I mean, and at one point you're going to realize, hey, I'm not my car. Everybody thinks that they're car. You know, I'm my
Jaguar. I'm my
Rolls Royce. Yeah, you're not the car. And if the car doesn't work, at one point or another, you have to give it up because you didn't take care of it enough, and you move to another vehicle. But you don't disappear.
Right.
So right now we have the whole biology called the ecosystem, which is threatened by really this low level of I wouldn't say mental linear intelligence or intellect, because the humans have their own intellect, but this low level of divine intelligence, of heart intelligence, because the divine intelligence is in your heart. When we say, you know, when we say you should love God with all your heart, because that's the type of connection that you have to keep in yourself, because you are it. And it's the reason they say it's so important to love God in all your heart, is because as you do this, that couple, let's say, man and God, we're back to back. They're not looking at each other perceptually. So man is not aware of God, and we think God is not aware of man. They turn around, and they start making love to each other. They kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? Because they are really one. But they cannot become fully one, because if they become fully one, man will disappear.
Right.
Understand
they
that man is created in
the
shadow. A shadow is behind you, you know? We see a shadow cannot be you. It's inverted. There's light, there's you, and then there is a shadow. The shadow is still you. So we cannot totally fuse with God. We get closer. So it's a trip where we go halfway. The trip is always we make the first step halfway, and God gets closer to us halfway. And then we move further in that direction with love concentrating on. And then suddenly we wake up with instructions in our mind where God tells us how to do things, how to correct things, new technologies come out, the world is perfect, and then things happen like miraculously. But they will not happen miraculously as long as we think that science is stuck in a system of laws that are natural laws that will stay here for the next trillions of years, or and then there is no heart to creation, there is no God to anything, there is no the way by which we think is basically impossible to unify with the way God is for now.
Yeah.
Certainly not by killing somebody. If you think God wants you to kill somebody, you lost that totally.
Not really. Yeah. So that is really heavy. It's really profound. But basically, the first and most important thing that we need to understand from what you said is that there is only one, and not two, not ten, just one. No division, no real division. That division really exists only in your mind, and that creating everything is within yourself. That's what you say. That's what you're saying in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely.
And are you seeing that every generation, like this new generation, is further disconnected from God than the generation before? Do you see it? If it keeps going the way it is, it's going to have a complete disconnect, and then it would have to disappear?
It's very bad, yes. Right now it is. It's not like it's disconnected from God. It's disconnected from its own family, and it's connected to its own iPhone or iPad. It's Siri.
No way. Never from their iPad.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. It is serious, because we're given a lot of means of communication, but not to disconnect from each other, to communicate and not to replace digital communications, you know, or artificial friends with real live friends that are in front of you, and to forget there is a real element of nature that's alive here, and then you cannot kill it or watch it on TV. You have to experience it, walk it, go out and climb the mountain. You know, don't watch it on TV.
Right.
So
this is
serious.
This is very heavy also. It's very heavy. And I think everything that you've condensed now into 1 hour is really something that you need to go through for many hours to explain each and every step of the way. Because intellectually, you can understand it. Okay, we're all one. Yes, we know. Hashem Echad, we heard all that. But it's one thing to know about it intellectually. And it's another thing to actually explain experience it with your heart, experience it within yourself. It's a completely different story.
But you have to start with understanding. I can only tell you my experience. My experience is that people, and it made no difference what gender, what supposed color of skin, what supposed religion or non-religion, they had absolutely zero difference to the creator, to the real creator. It does not make a difference. What is really important is if they're willing to do that jump in consciousness and turn around and wait for that kiss. Because the moment you get that kiss, at one point or another, in your lifetime, if you try to do this, you will get the kiss of the Song of Songs. You know,
and then
the breath of God, which says, because your breath are better than wine, because you're going to get this white light pouring inside of you, and you'll be transformed. This is a transformation that happens then. And there's no way, if you have this experience, you will not know it to be the most transformative experience in your life. It's happened now, it's happened 100 years ago, it's happened 1,000 years ago, but humans are afraid of having the infinite power and protection of the one and guidance. They would rather choose to have a little, tiny little thing of nothing than this. I don't understand why. They're afraid of it.
Because
they
don't know.
Of.
Yeah, no, they don't know. What you don't know is scary.
They don't know. They think that God
is there.
They think God will punish them, you know, because, no.
Right.
He's waiting for you
to
embrace yourself as being there. It's not a question of punishment. No shame, no punishment, nothing. Just walk back, become a kid again.
Right. So if anybody wants to come to you, what is your website again?
Probablefuture.com. Also, by the way, I would like, if we can in the future, to make I want to explain something about Jerusalem.
About what?
But we don't have time. Jerusalem, the purpose of that city, what the real meaning of it is.
Oh, my God, that sounds fascinating. Can I hold you to that, to come back and talk about Jerusalem? Since I was born there, it means a little bit more to me, maybe, than the average person, but really people do understand that there is something very profoundly, energetically powerful that is emanating from Jerusalem. So, I would love to hold you to that. We'll schedule that, and yes, I would love to spend an entire hour just talking about that and how it affects the rest of the world.
Oh, it's the key, because if we break this unification point in our perceptual world, you know, if you want the top of the mountain and you cut the top, if you do this again, the consequences are immense, because everything we do here, even as, you know, when we do rituals, even rituals, they have a higher meaning, and I see the meaning. I can go into many different types of belief system, and I understand the meaning in the ritual. So that's why they're powerful also. But most humans just do it repetitively. They don't understand the meaning. Jerusalem has the highest meaning of anything. It's the meaning of bringing all the disparate parts of God together so they worship themselves as the one, and then the infinite one that they cannot reach, because at that point they can't reach it. And then they bow down in love, but not in fear and not in shame and nothing. And then that place needs to remain non-touched by man. It means that it's not the real estate of man, it's the real estate of God, and it has to be gifted back. Almost, it's ridiculous to say that, because it's always been, the earth is always belonging to God and not to man. We are an illusion to think that we can buy the earth or own the earth or lease on the earth. It's just the way we think. But that's ridiculous. That place has to be gifted to God, and holy of holy. Now, the holy you don't touch. Because at that point,
I would love
that
to,
by being in that field, you heal humanity. There has to be one spot.
I would love to come back and talk about Jerusalem, but since we're running out of time for this one, I'd like to invite everybody to visit you and to learn more about you, and you will come back and we will talk about that. And I'd like to end this segment with the very powerful sentence that you said about the fact that the cause of all of our dysfunctional human family will be dissolved when we come together and realize that we're all part of the one. It's the separation, really, that is the cause, the root of all the problems that we're experiencing, that we think we're separated from each other. And so if you have any last thoughts that you would like to tell us, we have a few seconds left, I would love to hear it.
A lot of souls are really asking questions. Why isn't this happening already? Why isn't God doing anything? The question to be asked is, God is doing everything. We are God. We are doing this. We are causing all this. It's our
blindness.
Right,
so the question is, what are you going to do to change the course of history? That's really the question. What are you as an individual?
I'm not doing anything. I'm just a voice.
No, not you. Each and every person, individual.
Everybody has to change their attitude towards the other. In other words, you said, we cannot, people say, take your ego away. I'm sorry, you cannot take your ego away. If you take your ego away, your personality will disappear and you don't exist. So it's not about ego. Take your separation away, it's like saying, shoot yourself. You know, we all look different. Thank God, that's what makes creation an interesting creation. When you go, you don't want to have only the same flowers, only the same animals. It's the diversity that makes it beautiful. But understand that at the core, we still are one family. We still come with the same higher soul. And that higher soul is the one. That's it. And we all have, we've forgotten that. All of us. It doesn't matter where we come from. This level, other levels. And it's all the one, including, by the way, the dark side.
Including everything, the good, the bad.
I will one day explain why the dark side was created, how it was created, and why it's so strongly operative right now. It's operative because we allowed it to. We brought it up. It had to be done by us. We made the first move. Because the ones that have the biggest free will in creation, believe it or not, are not the angels, are not the dark side, all these. It's the humans. They were created for that purpose because they're the most blind. They don't realize who they are. That's why it's considered to be the most difficult creation to fix, because even getting a message as simple as this message that I'm saying, you can become the Elohim again. You become separated, but at the same time unified. You love
each other. Exactly. So basically, that's a great way to end this. We made the first move for the evil, and we can make the first move to transform everything to the way it would be in harmony.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you a lot for coming today. We've been very enlightened. It's been very enlightening, very heavy duty, and a lot of information. I'm really looking forward for you to come back, and we will discuss how Jerusalem is affecting everything and how everything that happens there. And right now, it's really heavy duty. And I'm looking forward to that. And until then, have a magical day.
Me too. Thank you so much.
At this point, Empower is available at Amazon.com. All you have to do is type the name of the book, Planning Power. And when you see my name, see the selling sign, you know you got the right book. I bless you and I love you and present this to you from my heart to yours. You can shut off the TV today and claim your freedom from the dark chains of Hollywood. You can now join this movement by following me here. Just click the follow button right above. And you can also leave a comment here right below. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate by giving us your input, your feedback, or your comments. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.